Live from the Ghost Hunter Store, brought to you by the Shadowlands, South Jersey Ghost Research, and the Ghost Hunter Store. Here's some paranormal straight talk with your hosts, Dave Giuliano and Marty Haynes.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show this week. I'm back. I can't remember if I was here last time or not. I'm just going to say I'm back.
No, you were.
Okay.
Well, you were here, but you were not talking, so.
Okay. I was just being the sound engineer.
Yes.
All right. Marty's with me as usual, and our new co-hosts too, Keith and Wendy, are here with us.
Hey.
And our special guest this week is Dana Wingard, the founder, or one of the founders of Northeastern Paranormal Investigations. But I think probably better known to many of us as the person who started Phenomenology.
Awesome.
And got me addicted to Phenomenology now.
Right.
So welcome, Dana.
Hello. Thank you.
My first question is one that I think a lot of people are going to need help with, especially there's going to be a newer crowd, I think, because we've been talking it up a storm over here, getting people to come out this year to Phenomenology. They're going to need to, no one advised me beforehand, but I figure it might be nice to let them know. How do you deal with Phenomenology withdrawal? The feeling after.
You know, I go through it every year, and I don't do it very well at all. I just start planning again. That's the only way I get through it.
But what about for the rest of us who can't plan, and we just are like in the fetal position, laying on the floor with no idea what to do until next March?
Yeah, Dave did do that for like a week.
I know, it's horrible, isn't it? It's like such a letdown when it's over. It's like, ugh, where'd everybody go? Everybody's gone. You know what gets me through it? And it's paranormal television. I was just, you know, had flipped through tonight on Destination America. They show a ton of paranormal shows. I just saw John Zappas on there. So there I got a little bit of my fill.
That little fix, you know? Yeah, it was, it was amazing. That last year was the first time I went. Let me take I'm making a lot of noise here, rings. And it was, I didn't know what to expect because I'd only go into a couple of smaller paranormal conventions. And back when I first started, this was something that you would never see. You couldn't put a bunch of people in the paranormal in the room together unless you were going to give them like chains, knives, and you know bats, and they were going to fight it out. To see all these people that all in the room together and everyone getting along, and then afterwards, you know, having fun after the public left, you know, we had the karaoke and, you know, beverages into the late evening. And I mean, it's a really good time. It was like a fun weekend getting, you know, with your peers.
I was just blown away.
What
you said about people not getting along at other conventions, we try so hard to build this atmosphere of just everyone getting along and understanding that everybody has different opinions and nobody's more famous than somebody else. Or, you know, we really kind of try to promote that, and I think it's working.
It is working. It's definitely working because just from hearing from people who have gone to other events, even seeing that people fly in from all over the country to go to this one, and hearing them talk about going to the different, I'm not going to name any other events to put them down, but Phenomenology has got to be one of the top like two or three events in the country for this. And even in that small group, it still stands apart because there isn't that competition or anything. It's everyone's really welcoming, and it's you check your ego at the door kind of deal.
I think that's the first time I ever saw you skip back in the store to tell me, because I didn't make it last year. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to, but I'm going this year, just so you know. But Dave skipped into the store and just rambled for days about everything that happened and how excited he was. It was really cool to see. I can't wait to go.
You know what I think is something that I do? You know, I put this event together just because I wanted to get together with everybody, not so much because it's prestigious or, you know, I'm trying to prove anything to anybody. I wanted to bring all these people together because these are people that I genuinely like. You know, that's where it starts at. And, you know, with the celebrities, they come in, and it's not like, all right, you're on a rigid schedule or anything like that. You have to be here. You have to be there. Yeah, I want them to show up for their lecture, and if they have a ghost hunt, be there. The rest of the time, do what you want to do. Make sure you mingle. make sure you have a good time. I'm so easy on them, and it's like, where do you, I ask them, where do you want to investigate? What's going to make you have a good time? So they know that I'm interested in them having a good time, not just working, along with the attendees having a good time too. You know, so I think that makes a difference in the atmosphere. It's like, I'm the hostess, and I want to make sure everyone there is having a good time.
And you could tell, because you were, I think I got to say like two sentences to you last year, because you never stopped moving. You were on a mission every time we saw you going by. It was like, oh, I should grab Dana and say, oh, there she goes. It was too late.
And you know, and I'm telling you, I'm running around trying to make sure everyone is happy and everyone's satisfied. Of course, not everyone's going to be happy all the time, but I think we do a pretty good job of making sure that the attendees and the celebrities are enjoying themselves.
Yeah, if you can get, in the paranormal community, if you can get 50% of the people happy, that's like almost a miracle, you know? And I'd say you had like 95% of the people happy throughout the whole week and without bumping heads, any egos. I mean, it's amazing. Everything has glitches, but I mean, there was no glitches that like really dampened the mood at all. It was incredible.
Right. And, you know, I actually enjoyed this year. I would say the first 3 years were really stressful for me, but now it's kind of out of flow. So it's not that I'm not still stressed out, but I actually enjoyed it a lot more this year than I had in the previous years.
You realize that no one's ever going to let you stop this, right?
I know. And believe it or not, it does get harder every year. I think with the economy the way it is, it just gets harder and harder to sell tickets. People just don't have the money anymore. You know, and I was telling someone the other night, I'm like, you know, if I win the lottery, this thing would be free to everybody, and I would have every celebrity ever known anywhere in, and everybody would just come for free and we would just enjoy it.
See, and I think that's probably your attitude about it is what sets it apart. It's, you're not doing it. Your motivation is completely different than most of the other conventions and events that they're in it to for a profit or a money-making thing. You're doing it because you enjoy it. And that's...
We definitely don't make any money off of this. You know, my husband's still a police officer. I still have a 9-to-5 applications job. So, you know, it's not like we're making any money off of this.
But that shows, and I think that makes a huge difference in the enjoyability of it and how people perceive it and the word of mouth that goes out. I mean, I remember the first 2 years I had heard about it from people in my group, and they were talking about this event, and I'm like, I don't feel like driving out to Gettysburg to go to anything. It could be a bunch of paranormal people out there. Now I kick myself in the ass because it's like, you know, I had to wait till like 104. The fourth year I jump on board, I missed the first three, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, a lot of the kinks have been worked out when you got there too. So that made it more fun probably for everybody. A lot of the kinks were worked out. And, you know, we appreciate you guys so much. You guys do so much for us. Even though you weren't there, you know, Kim would come and she would promote the store, and you guys helped us, you know, with your donations to the raffles. I mean, you guys are great. We love you guys, and we would do anything for you too.
Well, that's why before we were getting out and trying to do any events, there was people like you guys and some groups at some of the conventions in Ohio and down in Florida too that we always donated equipment for to like support them. And we get so many requests from different places, but we always look to see and talk to other people, like, what's this event like? What are they doing? Right. Why are they doing it? And we only give the our donations to the people who are doing it for the right reasons, right, not the people who are out there that are just trying to put together something,
to make money.
Right, make a buck off of it. Because
right.
When you go to those kind of events, you feel that.
Yeah.
You can't hide the fact that it's a money-making event,
right,
as opposed to just, I mean, really, how much fun it was the entire time. And this year I'm coming down for Wednesday because I didn't come down Wednesday night. So
Wednesday is usually the most fun for us because I don't have to worry about anything on Wednesday.
So we'll probably all be coming down early, but it's it's something I've been looking forward to since the day we left last year. We were already making plans for stuff, so it's a great event. We're definitely gonna get something and put it out with the Ghost Hunter Store newsletter, get it up on the Shadowlands too, and promote the hell out of it and try to get more people to know about it and involved with it.
Well, we talk about it here at the store too, with everybody that comes in and ask them if they're going to go out there. You know, it's not that far to go from here, so.
Dana, this is Keith, and Wendy and I are already made reservations to come out there. This is our first year in the group. We've only been in the group a month or two, But, you know, the way Dave and Marty have been promoting it, we are excited, and, you know, we already made reservations, and we're buying our tickets, you know, probably this week. But I was looking, like, at all the different packages also for the different events, and, you know, you have a lot of the investigations and, you know, Saturday night investigations and different, you know, locations that you guys are doing the events also.
Yeah, I try to let people pick what they want to do. I don't like the idea of just being, when you buy a ticket or whatever, you have to do what's there at the time that it is. I like to let people have options, you know, because some people still want to come and meet everybody, but maybe they don't want to do an investigation because it's too long or too, you know, or too expensive or whatever. So I like to at least let everyone have a chance to get there. You know, if you come on Saturday, it's like $50 for a one-day pass. You can come on Saturday and still meet all these celebrities if you want to. You can still talk to them. And these people are great. They are so good with talking to people, giving them advice if they're asking for it. You know, they're just, they'll answer any question you ask them pretty much. You know, and I like being able to do that.
I mean, that's why I think I was most starstruck kind of over that. In a way, because it was like Chip Coffee was like diagonal from us, so, and he was coming over and telling us what to bring next year because he's checked out the online shop and we didn't bring enough of the crystals and all the other kind of stuff. Ben Hansen sitting across from us, and then we got and then Chris Williams was right next to him. Right. All people that the whole time, anyone walking in, you can go up and approach mm-hmm. any of these people. I mean, I walked over, I never had met. You know, Billy Bean in person. I just walked over to it. So I didn't even get hello out of my mouth, and he already got me like a bear hug kind of hug. You know? I was like, how you doing? You know, it's like, wow, you know. But I mean, it was like meeting all these people that you don't you may have talked through email, Facebook, or something like that, but see everybody all face to face, all in this one spot. So if you're just a fan of this walking in, I mean, there's no long lines that you're paying for, like, a autograph here or whatever, just to say hi. I mean, they're all just sitting there accessible to everybody. It's awesome. It's incredible.
I've been to different kinds of conventions. Hi, Dana. This is Wendy. I've been to some different conventions where that's the exact situation. You're waiting in line for an hour and to get a picture and a signature in 2 seconds and shake a hand and you're done. And you don't really have that FaceTime with everybody. And from what I've been learning about, you know, phenomenology, that's all it's really about, networking and getting to know everybody else who's in the field and really putting a face to the names that we've heard for our whole training and watching the TV shows, like you said, and really getting to meet them. That's going to be super exciting. I think I am going to be starstruck, and I've never been that way.
I'm just checking the page again.
Funny, the people I was starstruck with, Travis Walton.
That's what I'm looking at right now. That's
all. Too.
I was just going to say that. I was like, wow, I didn't know he was coming.
Yeah, he's coming now.
That's awesome. And then I see Josh Gates now is on there.
Yes, I'm a little concerned that we might wind up with some lines with Josh Gates since it's his first time. I think we might have a couple of lines, you know, people wanting to talk to him, but, you know, we'll work through it.
Yeah, there's just... I mean, the list goes on and on. As you scroll through, there's so many people.
Yeah, Eric Altman and Billy Bean and, you know, Brian mm-hmm. Kano from, you know, and I think, you know, John Zappas and...
Chris Fleming, you got Dave Schrader, the Ghost Detective guys, some guy named Dave Giuliano.
Yeah.
Reese Adler, Aaron Sagers, the Scared Crew.
Let me say about these people, you know, I knew these people... A lot of them before they had shows. You know, these people are generally my friends. They're not just, you know, celebrities that come in. Brian and John knew them before Haunted Collector.
Right.
Aaron Sagers knew him before Paranormal Paparazzi. Dave Schrader, I knew him before he was on his show that he had on the Travel Channel, the Paranormal Challenge. You know, so all these people we've known for a while, and they're just... I can call them friends. Chip, love Chip. He's one of the nicest people I will ever meet, and I can call him with a problem, and he's right there for me. You know, so it's not just we're bringing celebrities in. We're bringing our friends in, and it seems like they're making friends at the event, and it's just the networking is unbelievable. You know, John and Brian kind of started to get together at Phenomenology, and they filmed the World Within. John DVD about his life, the Core Films had filmed that, and that's Brian and Chris Mancuso's film company. And, you know, after that, it led to Haunted Collector. So, you know, a lot of good things have happened from Phenomenology. A lot of people have wound up on the show Haunting or The Haunted. We've had producers there. We've had people from A&E there. You know, and not the celebrities, but the people behind the scenes. And they're plucking people and saying, hey, I want to hear what your story is. Let me know. And these people winding up, you know, starting to make careers out of it. So, you know, I'm very proud to feel like my babies are leaving the nest as they're meeting different people and moving on in the paranormal field.
Well, I mean, that's cool, too, because, I mean, that's what I went originally. I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I probably didn't have, like, I guess, like, big hopes for anything, because I guess I'm jaded from so many years of all the paradrama that has gone on for 20-something years. And it was just, I was looking to network. And I had no idea that it was going to be what it was, like the fun aspect. But the networking aspect of meeting all these people and talking and making, you know, doing stuff on the side and everything else is just incredible.
Uh-huh.
That's the opportunities are boundless. So, I mean, I met a bunch of people that I wound up hooking up with and doing stuff throughout the year. So okay. That's great.
Right. We have teams call us from New York or wherever that, you know, are just... we have a case down in your area. Can you take it? You know, because they trust us now. We've got to know each other and they trust us. And, you know, I appreciate that. And the same thing, if I have a case somewhere, someone's calling me and it's not local for me, it's so much easier now to pick up the phone or send a message to somebody I've met and investigated with through Phenomenology.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference. I mean, it's, what are you looking at? The packages?
The packages, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even look at the packages. Yeah, I like looking at the guest list because then I see.
Well, even looking at the packages, the prices are not bad for what they're getting out of the packages. You know, it's
all you're in Gettysburg, yeah. Which is like one of the top, you know, paranormal ghost hunting places to go. You're going right into haunted locations with people who know what they're doing and are some sort of maybe celebrity, depending on who you're lined up with. But that opportunity alone, to me, is the price is from, compared to what other people are charging for other events.
Yeah, to get
into I've seen some of the prices.
Yeah. I won't mention any, like $275 at a certain fort somewhere.
Wow.
That, you know, to hang out with a couple guys, but
and it's only for one night. That's right. What gets me. And it's not even the whole night; it's like for a couple hours.
With barely any contact with the people that all the people that were there to see.
Mm-hmm.
Almost no one made any kind of long-term conversation with, maybe a hello or that's it. That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I'd be disappointed if I spent that much.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
Phenomenology,
yeah,
Phenomenology is definitely worth every penny for everything that you get out of it.
Wendy and I have looked at the event passes like 15, 20 times. We're not sure what we're getting. I mean, you know, we looked at the silver package, which, you know, is, you know, the events, all the lectures, and then, you know, we even thought, you know, do we want to do one of the investigations? I mean, Dana, you guys are doing all three locations this time.
Right.
You know, the Eisenhower Farmhouse, the Tilly Pierce House, and General Lee's headquarters, you know. And those are, you know, probably three great locations. I mean, just, you know.
Well, that's what everybody talks about when they go down there. Then everybody says, oh, I went here or I went there, and this is what I got out of that. They always get something out of those especially those places.
Right.
They're hot places, yeah.
Hottest place for us has been the Eisenhower Farmhouse. But I can tell you, too, those are full investigations. We have Spooky from Gettysburg Ghost Tours,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to hook us up with the shorter investigations. If you don't want to go like a whole 8 hours from like 10 a.m. to 6 or 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., she's going to let people book directly with her to go on the shorter ones. Gettysburg Ghost Tours has a ton of locations in Gettysburg. She's actually who we're getting the Tilly Pierce House through, and you know, so we're going to get her up on the website, and if anybody wants to do any of the smaller, shorter investigations, they can book it directly with her. And it just makes it easier that on us to not have to worry about, you know, 15 locations. I'm only worrying about three this year.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
And that's great that they're helping you out that way. Yes.
Now, are those smaller locations going to have people on them too? Like some of the guests involved?
Yeah, we will definitely send some of the guests out. I know everybody wants to know who's investigating what location. And, you know, honestly, I don't know. Usually until the night of the investigation, I'll say who wants to go here. Who, you know, like with Chris Fleming, I always ask him, where do you feel is a good place for you to go tonight? And that's where he goes. He just kind of, you know, or there's some place that maybe they want to see that they have never seen. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, I like to let the celebrities choose because I figure they're going to have more fun being where they want to be.
Absolutely.
And them having more fun is going to make our attendees have more fun.
Hey, well, I'm up for helping any of the investigations this year.
Okay, we'd love to have
you. I've never investigated anywhere in Gettysburg. I've only been to Gettysburg twice. Once was for phenomenology, and once was for a non-ghost-related vacation, just for history, and I shunned all the ghost stuff.
Nice.
You know, I didn't want to deal with anything ghost. I just shut it all off and went there strictly for the history. So I never investigated anything in there. But, you know, Taryn coming back all the time telling stories of how she's investigated every place and, you know, hundreds of times. She might be. She's not stuck at work. She's in Gettysburg.
I get so tired of being here and come in. They show me pictures and EVPs they got from here and there, up there. I'm like, this is not fair because I haven't been there. I'm going
to
enjoy this.
Yeah, this is going to be our first trip out to Gettysburg, too. We've never been there. So it's going to be exciting.
It's an amazing place.
Even besides all the events that you have organized, I think, you know, I listened to one of the interviews that you did previously, and you were talking about just the hangout factor, you know, just getting together with people afterwards. And I think one of the funniest stories was when you were hanging out with, I think, the Constantinos, and John mm-hmm. Zappas brought the 100 haunted dolls up to your room.
Yeah, that was the creepiest thing ever. But
it's like, first of all, the dolls would have freaked me out to begin with, but the fact that they were all haunted.
Fact that the EVPs sounded like, you know, 20 people trying to talk at the same time.
I don't know
that
if
was
that would have been
so incredibly creepy. And then, you know, we asked them, Debbie actually said, how do you feel about John? And they said, John is dead. Well, John was done at that point. He said, all right, I'm going to go have a drink in the bar. Let's pack these up. Never heard that. He's like, that's enough.
Great.
And you know what was bad? On the drive home, he had all these dolls in his truck or in his car, and the axle broke on the way home.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And he swears they tried to kill him. He will to this day.
I think I would have shipped them separate.
Now, I haven't been up to John's house since he moved the stuff into the barn. When I was up there visiting, he had still had everything in like the mother-in-law suite he had built onto the house. So it was like you were walking through like the different bedrooms and what would have been, you know, the living rooms, and all those dolls and everything were all just wall to wall everywhere. And that was creepy. I can't imagine this, the whole, the smaller, making a smaller area like a hotel room with that many dolls in it. Would
just
be,
travel with the car with them. I mean,
really. I know.
I know. Can you imagine when I'm coming up behind you and like trying to choke you or something?
I wouldn't look at the rear view. I probably would have.
Yeah, you just turn the rear view mirror up so you don't even use the mirrors. So tell me a little bit about your group. I mean, that's probably something that's, I guess, maybe overshadowed because of phenomenology.
Where are you guys based out of?
We've had our group probably for about 8 or 9 years now. And, you know, we do private investigations just like every other group out there. You know, we're always having people wanting to join the group. And we do monthly meetings. We're pretty much just like any other paranormal group out there. You know, we have guidelines that have to be followed. And the whole group pitches in to have phenomenology to get it, you know, to where it is. We have people in the group that are, you know, helping with security. They help check people in. They help me get organized. You know, they laugh at me because right before the event, I have giant post-it notes on the wall. And I have every attendee's name written down and what ghost hunts are going on. My walls are covered with yellow sticky notes. And, I mean, they're huge. They're like 3 by 2 feet.
Thank God for sticky notes, because I can't live without them either.
Hey, yeah, and it's the ones that hang on your wall, they're the easel-sized one. They're awesome. So
I'm saying. Wallpaper with
that's them. What I need.
You don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like. It looks like wallpaper, and I have everybody's name on there. So everybody helps with that. They get us all organized, you know. Without them, we couldn't do it. There's no way I could do phenomenology without the whole group.
Where do you guys, I guess, where's your, like, home territory? Where do you guys cover?
I'm in Harford County, Maryland. So we're pretty much Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware, that area.
We'll have some cases. I didn't know you were in Delaware or Maryland.
Maryland, wow.
Yeah. We get a lot of cases from Maryland that we wind up trying to hand off to people. And it's hard to find. It was hard to find a group in Maryland, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're here.
There was used to be a group in Baltimore that was... we handed it off to, and I don't know whatever happened to them. They just disappeared.
I know what happened to them, but I can't tell you. But, yeah.
Okay. Later. Just leave it at that. That
They're
was
gone.
Nice.
They're gone.
Oh, I think I know what happened to them. I think you just jogged my memory.
Okay.
I know
who exactly. But we are here. We are definitely here. And, you know, if you have anything that you want to forward to us, you know, we're 12. I think we're at 12 members. We have a couple of people who want to join the group that are kind of coming in, and we bring them in to investigate with us so we can see how they do, and then, you know, the group decides whether or not they're good material, you know. And the thing is, we're not just an investigation group. We're a group of friends. So you have to fit in, and you have to put up with our crap, you know. we joke around with each other. We're like brothers and sisters, and you have to fit in. You have to be a family member, really, in order to be a part of the group. It's not just your investigation skills and all that. You just have to really get along with all of us. So
that's how we are with SJGR. My first training class of the year. They're starting tonight, and they start at, like, we had like 20 something interviews. When we approved like 16 of them, we're already down to like 10 now.
Yeah,
and we haven't even started yet. But just but it's. I tell them that we're not. I can teach anyone to read the meters and use the equipment. That's pretty simple. It's that you have to fit in with our dysfunctional family, pretty much.
The X factor.
Yeah, it's the X factor that we can't put into words. You have to fit in, and that's the most important thing. And
it's so funny because we are so hard on each other, and we make fun of each other all the time. If you are not thick-skinned, you will never fit in with us, because we literally are very hard on each other. You make one mistake, and we're all on you.
Yeah, we're
the same way. We have that in common across the board.
That's what I noticed when I started talking to other groups, and like the groups we have back here for the Witches Ball, when we have all the groups out here, starting to talk to all them, and then meeting the other people at Phenomenology, and already knowing, I thought maybe that the people that I knew personally in the paranormal, I thought maybe I just met a bunch of the weirdos like me. But now I'm finding out that we all have that twisted sense of humor. You know, we all have that weird something about us. You know, I guess it's a common denominator amongst all the groups. So it's like you see that at work after hours at Phenomenology.
Yeah.
Because the torture and the jabs that go back and forth between everybody, even people. I had dinner with Dave Schrader, who I had just met at Phenomenology, and we were trading barbs back and forth of Darkness Radio versus Para X. We had dinner with some people that were at the conference, and they were just like doing like a tennis match, heads going back and forth. I would throw a jab at him, he'd throw a jab at me, and then we were just like. They like, you guys known each other for years? I'm like, no, we just met about like 2 hours ago.
I can imagine like everybody probably gets separate tables like for dinner, and then all of a sudden all the tables come together. And
we were sitting there, and all of a sudden Chris Fleming walked by, and then he sat down with us, right? And then there was other people. Yeah, it was the table just grew and grew. Originally it was about 5 people, then it was about 10 people.
Where did these 100 people come from? We're all having dinner together.
I mean, that's something too that you can't put it like a price tag on. It's that kind of stuff, because there was it wasn't just the people like the paranormal people there. There were regular people that were attending the conference that were sitting there having dinner with us and seeing all that and hearing all like the inside, you know, behind the scenes stuff that they, you know, that's kind of what the fan, you know, lives for, you know.
It's funny because, you know, like you said, we all become a paranormal family. You know, I have to bring my kids every year because unfortunately I can't afford a babysitter to take care of the kids, so I have to bring them with me. And so many people were like, oh, you bring your kids here to all this stuff? I'm like, yeah. You know, I'd rather have them hear about it than be afraid of it. But my kids are not afraid of it. My kids watch these shows and they'll be like, that's stupid. That's fake. That's dust.
That's what we do.
No. And I'm like, no, they're fine. And I'm telling you, these people are my extended parents with my kids. You know, we're there that weekend. I have Patrick Burns sitting down doing math homework with my daughter, you know. Dave Schrader, who loved babies, was watching my little granddaughter, you know, had her on a leg, keeping her from crying because I couldn't. It's definitely an extended family there. We just, you know, Chris Fleming is like the brother I never had, and he and I jab each other a lot, you know, constantly picking on each other. So, you know, it's a good experience. I just feel so comfortable with everybody. And, you know, you were talking about after hours, everybody singing and whatever and just drinking and carrying on. I know Bill Bean played guitar in the hotel lobby at least till 5 a.m.
And he played a mean Bon Jovi, Dead or Alive. I'm telling you. He played the whole song through. He did the lead guitar. It was him, Patrick Burns. There was a bunch of people. And they were all, they had the lyrics up on the phones. And so they were like singing along. It was great. They had a little audience going on. And we were all out in the lobby. I mean, it was just so much camaraderie. That's why you start jonesing for it the day after when it's all gone. It's like, now what do I do?
I need more.
So now when everybody's asking Bill Bean to play Bon Jovi, I'm going to let him know that you're the one that
said. I think he'd proudly play it because he played it great. So this year you have a different thing going on with the zombie prom.
Yeah, I figured I'd bring a little bit of horror in it. Originally, when I first dreamed of Phenomenology before I had the first one, I kind of wanted to bring horror and real paranormal together. It didn't work that way. I didn't get too many of the horror people in there. I wanted to have authors and all that, but I had a hard time getting them. The paranormal people were already my friends. Of course, they were okay to come. But the other people I had a hard time getting. I'd been to Unicon. I've been to all of David Frater's events. I definitely went to every one of his events. Horrifying. I've been to all these things. I'm like, you know what? I want to do the same thing, but I want it all together. I want everything all in one place.
Right.
You know, my dream is to have a Dragon Con over here one day. And I thought, if we get horror in, we'll get a little bit more of the mainstream people, you know, people that like mainstream horror, because believe it or not, not everybody watches these paranormal shows, which I'm just appalled by. But, you know, Walking Dead's really big right now, and we're bringing Michael Kosky in. He's one of the zombies in Walking Dead, and what's fun about Michael, he'll put different pictures up of his makeup on Walking Dead, so I'm always looking for him in the show, because he's in every episode, he's just dressed in makeup differently. And, you know, sometimes he'll get killed and he'll come back again later. So, you know, that's a lot of fun. And what's really cool about Michael, he belongs to the Atlanta Ghostbusters.
Okay.
So he dresses up like a Ghostbuster with a stuffed Slimer on his back, and he's got all the gear and everything. So I'm like, he will fit in perfectly with us. You know, you got the zombie aspect with him, and you got the Ghostbusters part. And I told him to bring his equipment for Ghostbusters because there's a lot of ghosts in Getty.
There you go. So is this going to be...
The zombie thing, I think we'll have fun with that. I'm pretty sure everybody likes getting dressed up for Halloween, and if it comes more than once a year, that's even better.
We have costume parties and theme parties all the time, so it's like, we have many pirate theme parties, because I figure if you're going to buy a costume, and you only wear it once a year, you're not getting your money's worth.
That's right.
Which maybe I'll be a zombie pirate.
There you go.
That would be awesome.
That'd be great. There we go. See? It's already falling into place.
Now, Dana, you also have the Junior Ghost Hunt experience also. I saw that in the events as well.
Yes, we did that last year. We had Scream Paranormal kind of head that up. They did a lecture with the kids to kind of tell them the dangers of the paranormal and what you need to do to be safe. And we had their parents attend because it definitely was not doing a Junior Ghost Hunt without your parent with you. And what we did is, after they did the lecture, we went over to the Eisenhower Farmhouse from about 7 to 9. We had Chris Williams over there. We had Scream Paranormal. And it was a blast. These kids with their parents had such a good time. I can tell you, I stayed with my daughter the whole time. And I watched her hair being moved on her head. And I'm not talking about wind. A strand of her hair stood straight up for, I don't know, a second or so, moved to the side, and then went down.
Wow.
Nice. Me and Brian Hensley watched it, and we were, like, amazed. And then we got an EVP where supposedly the one woman hung herself, and it truly sounded like somebody gagging in there.
The kids had a whole other aspect of energy, because we started doing, we do ghost hunts here just for kids and their parents. We always do it usually at one of the local haunted libraries. And we investigated this place numerous times. And the amount of energy change when the kids are there is astronomical. The amount of stuff that happens those nights. Books fly off the shelves. There's all different kinds of stuff that happens. It doesn't happen when we're there investigating. It happens when the kids are there. And they love it.
They do. They love it. And I feel like as long as we're not taking them somewhere dangerous, I would never take them to like a prison or a sanitarium or anything like that, because I think that might, that's pushing it too far. But you got a farmhouse here in Gettysburg, you know, like you said, a library. I don't think we're going to run into anything too negative, any demons or anything like that. So I think we're good with that kind of thing.
I think it's good to teach the kids. I start to teach them young before they turn into teenagers and going out and doing stuff, stupid stuff that they're not supposed to be doing and getting themselves in trouble.
Right. And, you know, we just had someone in the paranormal field who passed away from breathing spores in an abandoned building. You know, and we all have to think about that. If our kids, they get old enough, you know, when we let them out of the house without us, what are they doing? If they're interested in this stuff, they're going to do it.
Right. Yep.
You know, let's keep them safe.
And the kids do an awesome job. When we first did it, I thought, oh, man, how long is their attention going to be? But they do. I enjoy doing them more than I enjoy doing the adult events, because the kids are so into it and they do such a good job.
And I think, honestly, the kids are their attention span for learning the stuff is longer than most of the adults that we do.
Definitely.
I was worse than the kids on the investigation. I was horrible. I was laughing and giggling, and I got yelled at, and they thought it was from the kids.
Little girl, keep it down.
Yeah, they did. They're like, now, children, we have to be quiet and put on our listening ears. And then that only made me laugh more. But do you know who Chris Nicoletti is from Scream Paranormal?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was so funny. He was doing his lecture, and he asked the kids, what's your favorite paranormal TV show? And one little girl raised her hand, and she said, yours. I watch you on the Travel Channel all the time. She thought he was that from Ghost Adventures. He laughed.
Oh, that's gotta suck. And that's gotta happen a lot in this field. A ton.
Yeah, that was so funny. But, you know, it was awesome. The kid, and they knew answers. You know, he was asking them questions about, you know, different paranormal things. And they're excited. And they're raising their hands. And they knew the answers. They've been watching the shows. They got it. It was definitely a great experience.
They're the ones that ask the great questions at lectures and stuff. When the kids start asking questions, you know you're in trouble, because you got to come up with good ones, because they know what you're supposed to tell them.
Well, we did a lot of the mock investigations with South Jersey Ghost Research, and a lot of the younger kids, like you guys were saying, were fine. But once you start getting like the 14 and 15-year-olds, then they start saying crazy stuff, and you got to pull them aside and be like, listen, relax, settle down. You're watching way too much crazy TV. Those movies you shouldn't be watching.
Yeah, when I first did the first youth thing, I think we did like 13 to 17. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I got all calls saying, look, my son's like 8 or 9 or whatever. I'm like, 8 and 9, really? And I'm like, okay, well, let's try it.
Yeah.
Now I start 8, it starts at 8 and goes up to 17. Because I figure the 8 and 9 and 10-year-olds will keep the 16 and 17-year-olds in line.
They do, and they do.
You know? And balance everything out, because they pay more attention, and they will keep them from, you know, carrying on doing anything wrong. They'll straighten them right out in a heartbeat.
And they grab the equipment and use it the way it's supposed to be used, and tell everybody, you know. They'll put a REM pod in the middle of the room. I watched this. They put a REM pod in the middle of the room, and they all sat around it in a semicircle. And then one kid just started asking questions, and somebody else said something. He's like, no, you have to take your time with it. You have to go slow.
Good job.
Well, you know what's funny? My granddaughter was 3 at the time, and we were in Gettysburg, and we did one of the tours. You know how they do the tours. And to get her attention, I'm like, we went to Jenny Wade House, and I said, sometimes the children from the orphanage go play under the beds here. So, you know, of course, we go up there. She was 3, and she's looking under the beds, you know, for the ghost children. And the tour was over, and we leave, and she let out a blood-curdling scream. And I said, what is wrong? And she said, I didn't see any ghosts. She was so worried, and she did not see a ghost on the tour. And she was only 3 at the time.
So you're still trying to book more people, huh? I see, to be announced.
Well, you know, the thing is that people wind up coming out of the woodwork saying, can I come to Phenom? We don't have any more room for speakers, but, you know, I don't mind people coming if they want to set up a vendor table and come out and, you know, just talk to people. And like I said, you might not be able to get up there and do a formal lecture, but when people come by and ask you questions, they love that too. They might even like that a little bit better.
Yeah, that's what I liked. So we had a lot of people stop by the store table just asking questions about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we had I always liked that one-on-one, that where you kind of get that instant, like, feedback. When you're talking to a large group, it's nice. But you don't always, unless someone comes up afterwards and tells you, you know, that they liked it, they appreciate something you said, you don't really know. When you're dealing with someone off to the side and just asking some questions or advice, you know right away, mm-hmm. you know, right. how you're impacting them. Right. There was a guy who does ghost tours that he was using the spirit box, and he thought he was contacting the same spirit over and over again. He came back like 3 days over the course of phenomenology. And he said, do I have any advice to confirm whether he's actually talking to the same spirit? I said, well, why don't you do like the Houdini kind of thing? Give him a code word to like, so you recognize him.
Right.
Say, so he went back the next night and he went out there and he said, all right, next time I come out there, call me, say, hey, dude. Dude is how we refer to people in, you know, this time period. Because he thought this person was a soldier from the Civil War.
Okay.
So it wouldn't have been something that normally he would pick up on. And he said the next night he went out, the first thing that came across the radio was, hey, dude.
Nice.
Wow. So, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's like, and he came back to tell me. I'm like, wow, that's like, that's so cool, you know. That,
so yeah, gave some good advice.
Huh? I know, some good advice, exactly. It's one of those rare times. One of those rare times, Marty, I gave some good advice, yeah.
Hey, but just for the record, this is coming from Dave. We don't know who the other person was. We really want his side of the story.
Actually, I just made that whole thing up. I really wasn't. I needed a story to tell, and I just got off the top of my head. It was the best I could do.
That was good. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was good.
That was definitely a good one. I totally believed it.
So what night is the zombie prom going to be on? Is that going to be like an after hours kind of thing? Or
we're going to do it on Saturday from 10 to 2. Usually when the lectures are over, usually when people decide to go to the bar, but we're going to do it from 10 to 2. Those attending the zombie prom won't be going on a ghost hunt on Saturday, but they can pick Thursday or Friday night investigation to go on. So we'll do that Saturday, and you know, Patrick and Marley are going to do prom photos for us. So you'll be able to get your little prom pictures in. You know, I think it'll be pretty good. Thank you.
Did miss my high school prom.
That's how I like the logo there too. Yeah. It's a dead forever or together dead or something on there. That let me put the webpage out there too. It's phenomevents.com. That's and that'll take you for the phenomenology and all the information's on there. It's going to be March 21st through 24th at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Also,
at the Eisenhower Hotel.
Yeah, that's what I like that place. It had some character to the rooms. I don't know if you've heard some of the stories, if Kim had told you anything, or a bunch of us.
I know, you know where the vendor room was?
Yeah.
Outside the vendor room, there was the men's restroom. Well, my husband, who is one of the biggest skeptics out there, he walked into the bathroom behind a man, and when he got in there, there was no one there. And he came out and he's like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what just happened.
We'll tell you. He might not like what we're going to tell you.
Yeah. There's a lot of activity that goes on in the hotel. We had a couple of rooms. We had actually used 3 rooms for investigations. And my sister had slept in one. And it was one where a lady had committed suicide. And she had decided to go to bed. And she turned off the TV. She would get in bed and the TV would come back on. So she said this happened about 4 times until she was like, I need to go to sleep, and then take back whatever.
I know Kim had some stuff where they were hearing things and stuff moving in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first got there, I guess Thursday, I checked in. You know, I locked the door, and then you have the little, like, big latch that goes over for the door, too, after you lock the deadbolt.
Right.
And I went into the bathroom, came out, and both were, the door was, like, slightly ajar, and but that latch was open, too, and you can't open that. You can only open up from the inside, so I'm like, trying to be like, you know, skeptic and reasonable because I got to sleep here, you know. Okay, it was housekeeping, even though my mind's going like, you know, bullshit, you know, it can't be housekeeping. Yes, so I'm like, okay, I lock it all up again, then I go and I start, you know, open up my suitcase, taking stuff out and everything. I turn around again because something just, you had that feeling, you know, quote unquote, mm-hmm. Turn around, the door's like even more open. And everything's all that. Happened like 3 or 4 times. And I finally said, look, I'm going to get a different room unless you stop by the door. And then it never happened again. But it was like, all right.
If you tell them, they stop doing it.
It was a nice little welcome to Gettysburg.
Look what we could do.
They probably enjoy just, you know, pestering people. You know, they probably get a kick out of it.
And like you said, when you get somebody that can hear you or knows that you're there, that's even bonus. Mm-hmm.
Or if you're someone like me that would just be a total pest. I know the people there for a ghost convention, so I'd just be running from room to room, unlocking doors, opening stuff, and yeah, pulling sheets off of people, running around having a blast, you know, for no reason at all, just to do it.
You'd have the maintenance key and be able to get in everybody's room.
Right. That'd be great.
So we know where Dave will be for the rest of his life and afterwards, too.
Yeah. At the Eisenhower Hotel.
He'll be at Phenomenology forever now.
Hey, that would solve the whole... Exactly, the withdrawal. I mean, I saw people posting on Facebook about the withdrawal, and I was like, what were they talking about? And I was already suffering, and I didn't realize it. It wasn't really didn't come full set on until about a week after, where it was like the weekend, and I was like, now what do I do? There's nothing to do. It was just such
and
a letdown.
You know, Dave Schrader warned me of that, because, you know, he was doing his darkness events. He goes, when it's over, the letdown is horrible. He said, you know, because you spend all this time, it's almost like a wedding, but worse. You spend all this time planning, and then you have this big, huge thing, and then it's like, oh, nobody cares about me anymore. Nobody has any questions for me. Nobody, you know, needs me right now. It's very hard.
It was an interesting feeling, but it was like knowing that there was going to... Then Kim was telling me, well, Dana says she might not be doing another one. I'm like, oh, no, she didn't.
Like I said, the hardest thing is selling the tickets for me, and I know with everybody going through, it's not like it's just one person who is having financial issues. It seems like it's everybody
right
now. So it's really hard to sell tickets, and unfortunately, I have to sell them in order to fly people in, cover their rooms, and pay the hotel. You know, unfortunately, it's a necessary evil. We have to pay them, or they don't come.
Right. But I think we're definitely going to help promote. We're going to help push this because it's like it's such a fantastic event. That's why I wanted to definitely. That's the reason why you were canceled. I guess the other two times we had you booked is because I couldn't make it in, and I didn't want to miss talking to you. So,
well, thank you,
Billy Bean. I was like, you guys got it from here. I just hooked you up. I walked out of the room and everyone else. But Dana's on. I'm not missing that one.
Exactly.
Don't tell Bill that.
It's like she's running Phenomenology. Exactly. I got to be there for that one. So.
But yeah, it's hard to talk to me during Phenomenology because I just, number one, I can't think straight. There are certain things that I have to think about, and that's it. There's nothing else.
But I mean, your whole group deserves a lot of like praise because when you see it, it's a whole team effort.
You see all you guys walking
around with the shirts, and you know it's you were great with the promotional shirts because everyone's giving you free T-shirts. And I swore every time I turned my head, you had a different shirt on.
I saw
our shirt go, the Ghost Hunter store shirt go by at one point, and then the next time I saw you had a different shirt on. It's like you were just like a walking billboard with everybody's T-shirts and stuff.
Well, I think it was Cher who said that you need to like change your outfit every 15, 20 minutes.
It definitely worked. And that made it harder to find you, too, because then they were looking for a one-collar shirt, and then...
Yeah, well, that was kind of the point.
Incognito.
She was staying off the radar.
I try to stay off the radar. Everybody's like, why don't you wear a staff shirt? I'm like, because I don't want anybody looking for me. You've got to field the questions while we're here.
Nice. Yeah, you're right, because you didn't have one on. I saw Chris a lot. I mean, I probably saw him more than everybody else. He seemed to be everywhere. Everywhere I turned, there he was.
And I could never find him. See, he has his plan, too. So.
Nice. I hope that wasn't his plan.
And what else? I did get to sit on a couple of the lectures, which was cool. But Christopher Lutz, probably.
Oh.
Is he going to be there this year?
I don't have him coming back this year, only because we didn't call him, and we kind of got filled up real quick. But love that man, his story, his honesty, the fact that he does not love himself, you know, he's not boastful. He doesn't think what happened to him was cool. He is just one of the best people you could ever meet. The fact that he does not know how to actually do a lecture, that he had to be, it was like a question and answer thing, just made him even more endearing. He would just answer the questions about what happened and what's going on in his life now. And it was just amazing. My sister was like, I just want to make him a pan of lasagna. I'm like, I know.
Making some lasagna.
You did, really, it was anybody in the field who's been doing this any length of time and knows of just the, like you've seen the movie or read the book, to have like someone sitting there that really experienced it, and then him telling you what really happened. I mean,
right.
There was probably points that I stopped breathing during his lecture because you just were like so in awe that like his whole demeanor about it. He's not out there to make money. He's not out there to put it out there to get publicity for himself. He's trying to set the record straight.
And he hates the movies. He hates the fact that the murdered family is exploited. That it tears him up. He hates that.
I think that was when people ask me about that, because when they find out I've seen them, because I think that's what I talked about the most when I came back.
Right.
That was one of the things that really stuck with me.
Yeah.
That how he, I mean, he just kept hitting that home that the DeFeo kids were children and they were murdered. And especially in the new Ryan Reynolds version of the Amityville Horror, one of the kids was the ghost.
Right.
So it was like, he just really, I mean, very, very upset about that they were taking children that were murdered and making money off of that.
I mean,
so it's, and then to see how his life is still in chaos after everything he went through legal battles and everything else, it's amazing. I mean, I went up to him afterwards. I found him out in the lobby out there and went and shook his hand. And I felt like a little kid meeting like Santa Claus or something. You know, it was like, I was so nervous, but I couldn't like express like how much admiration I had for his guts to come forward and tell that kind of story in front of everybody. Right. You know, knowing there was going to be like gawkers and everything else to come out to like a paranormal convention and just say, hey, this is what really happened. Here it is. And this is what I think of what happened.
Right.
You know, and I mean, he gave us like an admonishment too about be careful what you're doing when you're doing ghost hunting and paranormal, you know, research, because there's things out there you don't want to ever encounter. I mean, he really made it, a lot of people think. You can see a lot of light bulbs going on throughout the room.
Yeah, you know, and just the fact he is just a sincere, good guy. He just really is. And, you know, we probably might try to call him to get him back. I don't know. I know that he doesn't promote this, so whether he comes back or not, I don't know. And I'm pretty sure he enjoyed himself. But, you know, we were all sitting in the lobby. It was probably 2 a.m., and Dave Schrader looks around the room. He said, did you ever think you'd be sitting in the room with one of the Amityville kids, someone who was abducted by aliens? You know, people have seen Bigfoot. Did you ever think you would be sitting in a room with these types of people?
Well, that's the beauty of the event, is that, you know, you have like a list of, you know, speakers and everything, but you never know who else is going to be there, who else you're going to meet, or even just who else's story you're going to, you know, be in love with just by talking to and, you know.
Right.
I have a feeling that Travis is going to be kind of like that. From one of the interviews, the recent interviews that they just redid, like the whole group of those guys, like I would like to talk to all of them, but Travis, I feel like that's going to be an experience like that with Travis too.
Well, we met the Romaneks from Phenomenology, and we had each of them on the show, and both times their voices did not record at all, and it was literally like someone went after the fact and edited out their voices from the recordings. And
so it was weird.
So I don't want anything to do with them. I'm not going to interview them anymore. I was like, the whole thing was just so freaky. So I said, when I was talking to him, because we did his interview, the second interview, yeah. I'm like, if there's black helicopters at my house tonight, I'm coming to get you, man.
his lecture was totally terrifying about all the stuff that's happened to him since he's been abducted. And, you know, our one group member, Megan, she won't stay in the hotel if I have any alien abductees because she is petrified.
I'll tell you what.
Give me
the room full of dolls and Christopher Lutz. I'll stay in the room with those guys. I'm not going to. I wouldn't want to be around any alien abductees either. That's, to me, it's weird that like we're terrified of that and they're probably afraid of ghosts. You know?
Right. It's funny. And you know what? Travis said. Travis was there 2 years ago and he did his lecture and he said, you know, Pete, since the abduction, he has not had any serious illnesses.
Wow.
Hmm.
And how long ago was that abduction? 20-some years ago?
Yeah.
he has not had any serious illnesses since the abduction.
Well, at least someone has a positive side effect.
Yeah, he's got that going for him.
But you listen to Stan talking it. I mean, he didn't have many positive things to say, so.
Yeah.
Well, Dana, thank you very much for coming on. This was great. Well, finally getting a chance to chat with you.
Yeah, I can't wait to...
I'll wave a couple times at Phenomenology as you go by.
Well, maybe I'll be even more relaxed this year than I was last year.
It's hey, come on. Fifth time around. You're getting into it now. This is like old school stuff. You've done it four other times. Just relax.
Relax
and enjoy it.
Well, thank you.
Take care.
You bye too, you. And I'll see you soon.
All right, see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. We have, 2 minutes left in the show? Just wanted to...
should we recap the event, like the actual dates for Phenomenology?
Yeah, why don't you do that? You have the stuff right there for you.
Phenomenology 105, it's March 21st through the 24th, and you can go to phenomevents.com to check out everything, and it is in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. They have a whole bunch of lectures and different event packages that you can get, a whole bunch of different speakers, and Dave Giuliano will be there. So
who?
The great Dave Giuliano.
Make your reservations now, the Eisenhower.
I mean, you can call me Your Eminence when we're not on the air.
Sorry,
but let's not go crazy when this is being recorded, you know.
Your Eminence.
All right, everybody. We're going to sign off now. We'll be back next week. I don't know if we have a guest next week.
It'll be a round table.
It's going to be a round table discussion, so who knows what we'll get into. What topic we may be led down.
I think we have a couple good topics to run with.
A couple good ideas.
All right, so everyone, till next week, stay safe out there.